Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello, darlings. Oh my goodness. I am so happy to be back. Wow. It's been quite the ride. I just wanted to do a little check-in and a few parish notices before starting this conversation, because it's been a hot minute and I missed you, and I'm sure a lot of you are wondering what the hell's going on, what should we expect, who is she, where is she? Top question I always get asked is, where are you? So first of all, thank you. Thank you to everybody that has sent me messages, DMs, texts, emails. You guys have been amazing. I've had so many questions about when the next season is coming, and it's finally here. So thank you for staying interested and staying connected and in community. I love that. You know that I do. Talking of community, we are growing rapidly. I'm able to see that the podcast is being listened to all over the globe, quite literally. It's really quite astonishing. And there's one person that I want to say hello to. I got a message from a friend called Michelle, who's in Canada. And Michelle told me that she has a little sister called Joelle. Hi, Joelle, who loves the podcast and also loves my voice. I thought it was so sweet. It was one of my first little DM messages of encouragement when I started. And I said, I have to say hi to her. So hello, Joelle. If anyone else is listening from anywhere in the world and you'd like me to say hi, do let me know. I should start doing that. Right, I'm going to get on with this and kick this season off with Mr. Joe California. He's every inch the hippie. He is an open-hearted, spirit-led, fabulous, and also quite cheeky, actually, musician. This conversation happened in a downtown hostel of CDMX. We have a few sound issues in this. You can totally hear everything, but I just want to make you aware there was a few sound bits. So ride through that and all should be well. I find this conversation so, it makes me smile from ear to ear. And I really believe that Joe shares some profound wisdom in this. I hope you kick back, enjoy, and feel as though you too are backpacking with a guitar through Mexico, having mycelium on hills and mountains. And also, of course, please be mindful whatever you put in your body. All views expressed are our own, and we do not endorse any mindless behavior, only mindful behavior that might open your heart and soul. Okay, let's do this. The global African diaspora has been hungry for quite some time now. Bored of the crumbs so many of us have been thrown, we are now aligning to a deeper knowing that we are sun and moon folk. We are sovereign souls. We are the culture-making, code-switching vibes. We are the chameleons in cities and the creators in suburbs. We stand at the core of every trend the fashion industry churns out. We are the soul in the food, the hips on the beat. We are the bass and the melody. We are both the breeze and the fire. And it's time we remembered who we are. Welcome to season 2 of Monday Moments. Here is my conversation with Mr. Joe California. Welcome to this moment in Mexico City. I have been observing for quite some time the way people in our community have been growing, rising, and most importantly, being. And the person who is joining me today goes by the name of Joe California. Now, I have been moved to his spirit quite simply by the way he moves around the space. He is known in the place that we're living as a person who walks barefoot, which is a sign in the modern world of a free man. I'd like to hear more about what that kind of freedom feels like. But I would love to introduce you all to someone who I find so electric, so free, so talented, and really so kind. So it's a real honor to begin this special season with someone who I just feel connected to spiritually. Joe California, will you say a little bit about yourself, maybe how long you've been in Mexico, and then the little bit on the bare feet?
I guess you could call me Joe California. I am an artist originally from Cameroon. I was born in the U.S., but when I was 2 years old, my family immigrated back to Cameroon. My parents are originally from Cameroon, first generation. I'm the first generation Cameroonian born in the U.S. And we moved all over the place. I moved to Cameroon, Senegal, all over Africa, Kenya, and then North America, yeah. Canada. And and so my first stop actually moved back. My first stop in the Western world was in Toronto, Canada. So, so I did my last year of high school in Toronto. And I also did university there.
Okay.
The University of Toronto in Canada.
Nice. Why, do you feel a little more Canadian than American right now?
Not feel more. I feel, honestly, nationality does not really feel like... I feel like I am loyal to America in some way because of the opportunities. The opportunities being American offers.
Yeah.
And Cameroonian culturally, I feel no, I can't say Cameroon, but I feel I have a loyalty to the people that I know there. Mm-hmm. You know, and to building a community.
Yeah.
In that space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the community that's arising here in CDMX and the community, the global community that you've developed and connected with on your travels? Because you've been traveling, more recently you've been traveling quite a lot. You feel to me as someone who enters a space and quite quickly is in what feels like a family. Mm-hmm. How do you find that, or how have you found that? Would you say that's a fair observation?
Yeah, but I do know where it comes from, you know. Yeah. Like what I was describing, my experience living in different countries and going to these international schools with people from different places from in the world.
Yeah.
So I learned very young how to interact with people from all over places. But I think my real training, I think I did a lot of customer service jobs in my life. But then the real training was working in the Apple store. I worked in my last job before I actually started this trip was I was working in the Apple store.
Oh my goodness, okay. I'm always curious about Apple store workers. They just seem like very cool, nice people.
Yeah.
And smart.
So the key with Apple, like they usually seek for the personality. That's the trick they give you at the interview. Right?
Yeah.
People show up there, they think it's about how much techie, but Apple knows they can train you. So they're looking for those personalities, and that's really so people with that kind of like, you know, the personal open people, the kind, the caring, you know, because they want the energy to flow in the customer interaction. So for me, I literally did it for 4 years, and you're talking about maybe 15 interactions a day, or sometimes big families. And so you're interacting with people every single day, training how to connect with people and how to. So it's of course, it's literally the training of how to connect with people.
And then obviously with the travels, it comes up.
Okay, and travels.
All of that experience.
The hostels, going to hostels. But I think, all that, I mean, I just feel... It's also something about being free, connect, makes people want to be next to you, you know?
Let's talk about this way of being free, because I want to come back again to the bare feet. I know it's not a huge deal to you, but when I think about it, actually, and look at you doing it, I see it as a choice to connect. You're more connected to the land. You're probably just thinking, I've just got my shoes off.
Honestly, I am not thinking science or going too deep into it. I like it. And I was like, why? I'm not comfortable with shoes. I'm comfortable without shoes.
But you know, that in itself, in this kind of setup, in a city setup, even though, you know, we're in Mexico City, we're not I guess it's safer than New York City, and we are in a building. You don't walk out on the street.
Not in Mexico City.
I'm sure okay. You live in Oaxaca.
Like in a beachy town, yes.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I wish I could do it in Mexico City. I can't. Literally, I was walking in the neighborhood today. Oh yeah. My God, it smelled like pee. I had to literally walk on the main road. It was smelling. Literally, you see like lines of like residue pee everywhere.
No, it's the worst. But look, I see it as a small act of rebellion in what is quite a constricted, rigid life. And you do it, as you say, without any kind of, there's no ego around it. You're like, I'm the barefoot guy. I'm giving you that in a way because I keep bringing it up.
Mm-hmm.
But these small acts of rebellion in these times are very interesting because a lot of people are scared to make them. And I actually think that maybe I'm calling it an act of rebellion and you're seeing it as a way of being. Do you have any...
But I think there's part of it is rebellion because there's I think within me there's always been a fire. I think the fire is being controlled, you know. Mm-hmm. I think that everything about control drives me nuts, you know. And I don't know, I think...
Time to be you then.
Yeah, and I don't know. I feel like when I moved to America or Western world, I really didn't like how a lot of African immigrants will feel like they didn't have to be proud where they're from. Some people will lie that they're Jamaican because Jamaican was being the cool thing. Or I just felt like when they walk in a room, they don't own up to who they are. They just want to fit in so much. You know, there's a fire. Then I think there's an angle within me that hates control and being like a sheep. You know, there's a way part of me that I always hated it since I was a little boy.
Yeah.
And I think when I saw it, I think there's a part of me that feels more of a need to become and be like myself, like full self and own up to myself. I walk in a room and be my high energy. I think it's within all of us.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us, it's been repressed because we've been domesticated to repress it. But like, I know it's within all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, and I feel a duty to do it because I don't see a lot of people doing it. And
right.
I feel a lot of Africans walk in a room, they feel like they have to fit in, they have to be accepted. I don't feel like I have to accept it. I walk in a room, I take what I need.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to stop me, good luck, you know.
Yeah.
We'll compete for it fairly.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not afraid of the fire. I believe in my abilities and I believe in myself. And I think it's important for me to even believe in myself more because I hate when Africans, you know, I hate when they don't believe in themselves. I hate when they feel like, oh, please accept me.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm already worth something. And if you don't believe me, watch me. You know?
I love that. Almost wanted to like cuddle you as you were speaking. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
I have a lot to say on that. First of all, a question. So in the UK, there was a period where a lot of Africans would lie about being Jamaican because it was cooler. So this was the same where you...
So Toronto, the one thing that's similar about... Mm-hmm. I don't know about like... But Toronto and London have a very similar relationship musically. There's a weird culture, I think, because there's the same kind of population immigrated there.
Ah.
A heavy Nigerian population, a heavy Jamaican.
Oh.
And you know how the Jamaican culture since Bob Marley have been cool. Since Bob Marley, Jamaica has been cool.
Yeah.
Has been the symbol of cool. You wear a Jamaican flag since Bob Marley, you were automatically in the cool category. Right? So like I think it evolved to a point where like when I moved to Toronto, like if you could move to Toronto back then, like the top 40 was every usual stuff you listen in the US, but you had to include reggae, soca, or music coming from the Caribbean. It's always part of the genre. And I know that's the same thing that was happening in England as well as,
okay. Wow, interesting.
So I'm not surprised.
Yeah, exactly the same. And then the other thing that you've shared this so eloquently, and it is very much in the fiber of your being, this thing of being a proud African, but you do so without a raging ego. It's kind of like, it's as though it's within your blood. Well, it is within your blood. You are that man. But I wonder if you're able to unpick or identify the ways in which, I guess, having a bit of your childhood being raised in Africa shapes that. And just quickly also to reflect, I think for me, even though I was born in Kenya, I left Kenya when I was 3, but what made me know my queendom and my regality was being around African women so much. And so we kept that. And I didn't go back, but I had that through my mum and my aunties. So what is it that, as a Black man who spent time in Toronto and then America, who would have moved through very many systems which have tried, that would be trying to tell you everything opposite to what you intrinsically know. What is it about your time in Africa that made you know this? This is quite a long question.
Yeah.
Do you get it? Long-winded, but do you get it? Can you identify the pieces of your childhood that really made you know this thing, have this, you know who you are, you love who you are, and you're not afraid to stand in it?
I don't know. I think there's a part of me that's
it's who you are.
It's who I am, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like,
it's so hard to say.
You're like, wait, this is just my spirit.
It's just who I am, yeah.
It's just who you are. I'll pose the question in an opposite way.
Okay.
How have you coped with the narrative in America and the global narrative in terms of the way headlines are sometimes towards how you should be as a man or the fears that you should feel as a man, specifically as a Black man? Do you listen to those? Are you engaging with this stuff? Like,
no, yeah. I mean, for me, I don't. Okay, so the thing is, you have to, I see the big picture. The big picture is media has been a great tool to accomplish certain things for society, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of this media, I've lost my trust. Mm-hmm. How can you say this? My earliest memory of understanding there's some kind of thing happening here where there's a force trying to tell you to think a certain way. I think I remember this as a, I still remember this.
You remember this as a young?
I remember this as a young, I must have been 4 or 5 years old.
Wow.
And it was when the Gulf War was happening on TV.
Mm.
And my parents grew up in the U.S., I'm in the U.S., right? They did university in the U.S. Mm. So they are very pro-America. Like, so every opinions are very pro-America, which is cool.
Mm.
But my thing is...
Sorry, just quite unique. Your parents, obviously from Cameroon, but they studied in America.
Exactly.
Okay, right. So they're quite... educated?
Yeah, so my father got his PhD in the US, but both my parents got scholarships to the US. So they're scholarship kids and
not that having those things makes you any less educated in Africa, but I'm just saying, I'm thinking about their generation being able to get those PhDs.
My dad was one of the special ones. I mean, like the scholarship only, like three people
like
in
three
the
people
whole country
in
that 1 year got it. So I know who he is. Like, he was the top of the class too.
Yeah.
So that's where I grew up. I grew up with a dad that was a star student.
Yeah.
You know, he went every level in the school system. He was at the top, you know, and he ended up being a professor, head of management organization. But the negative for someone like me growing up with that is like, I'm from in Africa, the curse of poverty, curse of poverty has made like, we don't live from the heart anymore. We don't live from the heart anymore. We stop. That's like the disease. It's a disease that a lot of people who are non-African, we don't know, but people who have been inside and who have been outside kind of can reflect and see it. You know, they see it in the little, that's the reason why when people make a choice for a job, like a service job, which is for the people, that we don't do it because it's going to be helpful to the community. They do it because it's going to be a high paying job.
Yeah.
That's the mindset of the African community, the Cameroonian. I can speak for Cameroon.
Yeah.
And, to me, I think that's the.
That was a very powerful thing you just said. African people, we don't live from the heart anymore. The curse of poverty, and you speak of it as though with the knowledge that it's a curse in a way that it's very much been put on the continent.
Yeah, it's like poverty makes you. Poverty, the easiest choice to make with poverty is to think like, okay, I can only think about survival.
Yeah.
That's the survival move. And in the general thinking that will evolve out of that is like every move that you make, that's a job, is going to be for making money.
Mm.
And that's created a generation of people that just think that way. And that's the corruption. That's the reason why when a person, you ask a little kid, what is he dreams to become? He will tell you he wants to become a minister.
Mm.
But he doesn't want to become a minister because a minister is going to be a public a public figure, a public person, a public chosen person that is going to help the community. Mm. He wants to be a minister because a minister has a big house. He's rich.
He's notable. He's respected. Other people respect him.
So that's the disease. And it's also included with the fact that we're very community oriented. So that's like, I think, I don't know where I was going with that with the heart.
Well, I think we're talking about African people living from the heart, understanding how what the curse of poverty is, mm-hmm. What it does to you, restricts the mindset, and then making those kind of like choices that are not from the heart. So you're choosing these roles that are not really like heart-led.
Exactly. And maybe going back to what I was saying before, my first memory, it was like, I remember watching the Gulf War and thinking, my whole room, my parents, everyone was trying to convince me that whatever was going on, that the U.S. was on the right way. I don't know if the facts were right or wrong. I just remember feeling that this wasn't based on opinion or logic. It was just based on me having to believe it because they believe it. Mm. And I just remember thinking, oh, and I remember that my first time thinking, I have to watch myself, I have to think for myself. I think that's why, I think since I was a little boy, I've always thought for myself.
There's two things there that have actually settled in for me now, which I didn't know about you. So your dad's background with education and how much of a scholar he was.
Okay.
And then also just your awareness as a young boy, which I guess has fed into this moment. Quite often with us as a peoples, the diaspora, we're trying to build something new and create. And quite often I see it that we are doing it from a place of response and or hurt from an old system. You move with a sense of your being because this is your way of being. You're like, no, I'm Joe California.
Exactly. The thing is, yeah. So I understand that the world see through the lens of race,
right?
But I don't think I have to lower my spiritual thinking to that level just because the majority of people think that way, right? So I will
have a beat. Wait, have a beat. Have a beat because we're going to have to unpack this because some people might feel triggered by that. Some people who completely identify with their race and only have identified with their race might think that is a statement of someone who isn't proud. But it's more than proud.
I'm beyond, but I'm proud of my history, of my ancestor, whoever came before me, because I wouldn't be here without them. Mm. It's completely ridiculous to ignore it. But I'm thinking from the biggest perspective, which is I always want to evolve. And I've always seen it that way, but I think sometimes I keep it quiet because it's not popular. Like you said, you're going to be attacked because the world is still, they want to evolve from racism, but they still identify with race. It doesn't make sense for my mindset. Mm. That's just the way I think. Mm. But it is reality. I'm not going to affect the fact that people will see me from a certain way and they would think less of me because I'm black. Mm. It's something that happens, because that's a reality. So I know that exists. Mm. But I'm just speaking from the higher spiritual level. Mm. I know I'm more than my race. Mm. I am a spirit living in this being, navigating through this world. And I happen to have a dark skin, which is great. But like other people have other skins, but I see deeper than, I think they're deeper for them. I see every person more than their skin, I see them as people. But because the people of my color have been, I feel like the media is still attacking them in spirit, mentally, and there's still a lot of people buying a lot of things they're selling.
Yeah,
I don't like this happening, and I feel like if I'm alive, I'm going to fight to make sure that we're winners,
Or even you're flowing in an opposite direction of what that narrative is.
I'm not even interested in the narrative.
We're not even in
a fight. But the only thing is, like, I am not going to allow them to... Because to me, I think you have to understand what the real fight of racism is. It's not. It's really them looking down on us. It's really them thinking we're not good enough that's the thing. That's the cop stopping you because you don't think you belong in that car. You don't... Most of you... black people, being black is being poor. Being black is being less educated. Being black is, that's the idea that they want you to force. And I'm not going to accept that, you know. I don't want pity from anyone. I know we're worth something. And I think that's why, I think the continent, we have a lot of young people. And that's wealth. That's wealth.
That's our superpower.
That's our superpower. And then this is the age of technology. And innovation. And I think I really believe in us going to that field of innovation. Literally just being able to compete. I think they've done a lot to keep us out of a lot of races. And I just want us to get back into the race again.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Well, sitting next to you, I feel like we never left it. Honestly, it's so good to feel that vibration from you. So pure. I'd love to get to the heart of your heart and this moment, which I think an experience that you told me about that opened your heart up both creatively and into, I guess, and this was an experience in Oaxaca. You can talk as much or as little as you like about it. because, you know, it's going out.
Well, I don't know if you want to go before the journey, but I went to Oaxaca. I've been in Mexico for 9 months.
Yeah.
And Oaxaca was about maybe month six.
Mm-hmm.
And Mexico has been, I guess, a rebirth for me as a creative. I think I was a creative that kind of let the art go. And I let myself just, I don't know, something I was off. And I was just traveling, searching for something. I don't know what it was. And music stumbled on the way, you know. And but still, something was off with me. I don't know. I guess, personally, I know something. I wasn't fully there, you know. And then I went to this place, this special place in the state of Oaxaca, in Mexico. It's a mountain town. It's called San Jose del Pacifico. It's very legendary for being a town where you go and take the mushrooms.
Magic
mushrooms.
Mycelium, yeah.
Medicine. And
the earth.
Of the earth, of course. And I went on the right season, during the rainy season, when it's still fresh with the mud. And it was my first time. And honestly, I was really scared. The first bunch that I bought, I got them from this lady. I'm not going to say her name, but...
Yeah.
She's like a normal lady. She has a nice store with beautiful clothes, but she also sell beautiful marijuana, beautiful mushrooms, and they're super fresh, and they look so colorful. You can tell she picks them up herself, and she gives you advice because she can tell based on your personality. So what is great about the woman in San Jose is she was great to give you advice to feel safe, because I think the first time I bought my bush, I was too scared, so I literally it got rotten, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you didn't take them right away?
No, I didn't. Okay. So I had to go buy them again.
Okay.
But
this isn't the magical woman up in the mountains. This is a pre-woman.
That's her.
Oh, this is
her. She's the woman who sold me the stuff.
Okay.
So she sold me the first bunch.
You didn't take them.
Didn't take them. Went back again. But this time I got it, but it was really fresh. Like, she got it the day before. And then I took them. So the trip began. You want to go through the journey?
I would love to,
Okay.
Because it opens up, will open up into the music.
Okay.
And there's a song from it.
So for months, I've heard of, from travelers to go to this place called San Jose because of the mushrooms. So I didn't know I was going to try them, but a lot of them were telling me it changed their life. And it was too many people telling me it changed their life. And so I would go there with the expectation it's going to change my life. So at that moment, when I took the mushroom, I was supposed to take like a certain amount and wait 2 hours. But then I forgot about the wait time. I still it didn't kick in. So I decided, okay, let's just go on a hike. And it's a while. I don't think it's an hour, but it feels like an hour. And I go, okay, this is not going to happen for me, it looks like. So I'm just going to stop trying to seek for this medicine to heal me. And I'm just going to try to do the healing myself. I'm just going to enjoy this hike. The moment I said that, my eyes start becoming blurry. And then my eyes are kind of blurry. It's like, I think it's the transition period, right?
Yeah.
And then you walk.
I can't believe you had a blurry eye transition period.
Yeah, it was like, because you can see, I think people don't really pay attention. You really have to pay attention. But I think if you pay attention to what's happening, your eyes can become, and you kind of like get watery and you kind of play with your eyes a little bit.
Wow.
And then that's why I think things become magical. And then but I'm still walking, not knowing things are happening. And then I look at... at a tree. It's moving. It's moving, you know. And then I realized, okay, I can't work it. So I went back to my house. So I enjoyed for a long time the experience of seeing things breathe and the magical of life, you know, the beauty, seeing the shape within the shapes. Only people with mushrooms understand, but like seeing through your third eye.
Yeah.
I know it sounds crazy to the normal person, but I discovered the third eye this trip. But the most important part, okay, the most important part. So I went back to my room and I looked at myself in the mirror. And I looked at myself and I said, oh my God, I'm good looking.
Oh.
I was like, oh my God.
And you are.
No, but in my eyes, I wasn't.
Yeah.
The highest mountain, finding in the forest. In the soil, medicine to cure me, and now I see beauty all around. Oh, now I see beauty in myself. Oh, now I see
in my eyes. I wasn't, you know what I mean? My eyes are, I'm the kind of person that sees the beauty. At the moment, I realize I'm the kind of person that sees the beauty in everyone, but never really truly myself. I may have lied to myself thinking I was, but I wasn't. Like, I don't think I fully believed I was, you know? And I looked at myself like, oh my God. And I kept looking at myself. and then I remember, so I was traveling with a good friend of mine. Her name was Min. And at some time in the trip, he said, so we spend the beginning by ourselves, and then we meet up sometime in the trip.
Yeah, yeah.
So she had one of the best rooms in this hostel with a view of the landscape. Yeah. So I knew to go there.
Yeah.
Something my voice kicked in, go find Min.
Yeah.
So I went to find her and we're downstairs laughing, of course, having a good time. And then we decided, I don't know why we go on Instagram, and she never looked at my Instagram. Mm. And then she started looking at my old art, you know, like I did a lot of graphic work. Some are very creative, like very unique.
Mm.
But, you know, I've done so many of them that I got so caught on that I never even thought, because people didn't give me a lot of compliments in my life, you know. I was making this art and then a lot of people didn't give me compliments, but it was just myself. But I do have a lot of followers, but it still didn't equate to me why. You know, and I was hanging out with, and Min is looking at my work and she's like, oh my God, this is you?
Yeah.
Oh my God, then why you have a lot of, because she always heard I have a lot of followers, but she didn't even understood why.
Yeah,
she's like, now I get why. And then I looked at my work and it was like as if I was looking at it for the first time. I was like,
really?
I did this?
You could see yourself for the first
time. And I think that's what this whole trip was about. It was a lot of times where I'm looking at myself, I'm like, oh my God, me? And I think that's why it is. I found my beauty, you know. And that's why the first song of my album is called I found myself, you know. It's the song about finding myself in a mushroom, because that's what it was, you know. I found my beauty and changed. I think it's a little thing, but it changed everything, a lot of things in your life, because you don't walk in life through, like, you know, thinking you're not enough. I think in the relationship I always thought I wasn't enough. That's why I wouldn't approach the girl that I thought was too hot, or if I thought the girl was amazing, I wouldn't think she was good enough for me, so I would just settle for the girl that was in my mind was less. You know, it was just
in your art, you wouldn't follow through with your art if you couldn't see the beauty in it.
Exactly.
And so, like, that seeing the beauty in all of those ways opened you up and enabled you to
enable me in many ways. I mean, to be able to, I mean, the energy you see here is like an improvement. I think I wasn't always as free. Okay, so yeah, so it happened. That trip happened right after Mazunte. And Mazunte is where the barefoot happened.
Oh, okay. So tell me about... Well, why don't you tell me? Tell me about Mazunte.
You wanted to talk about mushrooms because you like the mushrooms.
Mazunte, you started walking
barefoot. So Mazunte is my favorite place in Mexico.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So I went to a lot of places, stopped.
Yeah.
And I always heard... So I remember one of my best conversations was with this Irish guy in San Cristobal. He was an Irish guy that broke his leg during the trip, because he was defending another Irish friend who got drunk, and you know Irish
guys.
I hate to be stereotypical.
Oh,
his friend. Oh my God. Yeah, he was protecting him, and now he got injured, and his friend is okay. So his friend feels guilty everywhere. He carries everything for him. It's just the funniest relationship. But both of them spent some time in Mazunte and Zipolite. These are hippie towns, and they said, you got to check one of them. One of them will be for you. I went to Mazunte, and automatically it was for me. And I went to Mazunte first for 4 days with a friend, with a group of friends. So it's more of a group trip.
Yeah.
So I wasn't there for myself, but I bonded with the town, but my group of friends weren't bonding with the town. So it kind of didn't make me really stick with the people I was meeting. But I always remember the back of my mind, because I was starting to learn music, and I was saying, I would love to move back. I mean, just it thought in my mind, I would love to move back here and be a hippie and play guitar every day.
Yeah.
You know, and just get better at music. You know, back then I wasn't writing. I was just learning songs, but not writing songs. And then, I mean, I went to Puerto Escondido.
Yeah.
And I got lost in the party lifestyle to a point where I was like losing myself. And
oh, okay.
But one thing I was always doing is I was always chasing hostels that had a guitar.
Okay.
And so that's when I realized I wanted to
be around that,
play more of this, because I was learning songs and I wanted to play more and learn more songs. So I decided to move to Mazunte to clear my head. It was supposed to be just a weekend, but before I bought the Mazunte, I bought a guitar, and I moved there, and that's where. And but I ended up staying for 2 months.
2 months.
Yeah.
I mean, the story of Mexico is say that you're going for 2 weeks and end up there for 2 years. So
so Mazunte, before Mazunte, I didn't have a beard. I was like clean cut all the time. So always like all full beard. And before Mazunte, I was, I was kind of learning to play the guitar, but I wasn't writing songs.
Yeah.
After Mazunte, no shoes. I wear shoes. Literally, I went to San Jose the first day in the mountains, you know, cold, raining. I was walking, no shoes. I went all the way, hiked all the way to my hostel in the mountains, barefoot. That's how much I didn't want to give it up. Okay, the next day I had to wear shoes, but I wear Ikeza now. Yeah. Any chance I get, you can tell. No, any chance I get without wearing shoes, I take it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so like that's where I can, I think I was born, I think my full, I kind of, and then San Jose was right after. San Jose was like the finalization of
After Mazunte and Oaxaca. And then
Mazunte was first. And that's where the music the creation of Joe California.
Yeah.
And then I went to
Oaxaca.
I went to San Jose. And San Jose was the finalization. And then I began, and then I went to Oaxaca, Puebla, and Mexico City.
And now you're here.
Yeah.
Ay, ay, ay. I just had no idea that there was such creation happening behind the scenes on this land. Actually, this leads me into what I would love to touch on a little bit is... What do you think about what Mexico is offering in this time for peoples? Because there's definitely something about it. Had you been to Mexico before?
No.
I mean, you've obviously just described what all these different places have given you very clearly. But do you think there's something magic happening at the moment?
100%. So in a world, this is the world now. Fear is taking over the world, you know, and everywhere it was closed.
Yeah.
A lot of people wanted to stay indoors, but there were some people out there that life is about much more than just life and death. They have their passion. There's something about them that's about much more than life and death. And that's what, and they felt that COVID was restricting them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something in them wanting them to get out. And a lot of them were people already used to traveling.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew of places that they could find other places out there.
Yeah.
And out of all these places in the world, if you really think about it, the really truly open place was Mexico.
Right.
The one that offered you the least amount of restrictions
yeah.
for that kind of mindset.
Yeah.
So the what that created was a movement of the only place in the world where you could be.
You could be.
You could be, literally. And then, and then it created just, and then, I mean, I feel like it's just the mingling of all these minds, allowing themselves to be free, just creating this thing. This thing is happening here. I mean, you can feel it. I can feel it. And I mean, all of us are growing. Something is happening. I mean, things that have happened to me, I mean, have been like literally magical.
Things that I have wanted to happen for 2 years are happening in 2 months. I'm like, huh?
Me, things for 10 years happen in 9 months. It's like something is happening here. It's like, I don't know, something about, because I think, I don't know, I made a choice. When I left the U.S., I was literally saying no to the old life. I was saying no to the way I was before. And I was like, I was just giving my chance to something new.
Yeah.
Not knowing what was happening.
Yeah.
And out of it, things came out of it. And it was just, I don't know, to me, it's like, you know, people talk about faith in a religious way. And, but like, I think faith has to be where, there has to be risk involved. Like risk, like real risk involved.
Yeah.
That's really a true test of like, religious faith. And I think that's my, and that's what it is. Like, are you going to live through the head or the heart? You know, like the world will test you.
Yeah.
Are you strong enough to live through the heart? And that's where a lot of us who are here did, you know, we're given a choice to the heart.
And it was risky business.
It's risky business.
In the current world that we know it as we know it. It's crazy because they were quite simple heart-led choices, but in this climate, it's risky business. But we had to step into it to know it and to live it. It's so exciting.
Cool. Anything else you feel like you missed on? We can go back on something you missed on.
You've reminded me why I do this.
Why?
Well, just I love meeting souls like yours.
What do you mean by my soul? What happened?
To
be honest with you,
way of being.
You see, honestly, all these ideas in my head, but you know, they don't come out because you know people don't know how to get them out. You kind of got them out, which is really interesting. Well, I was wondering how this was going to go because I know this was not in me, but like it has to be. Someone has to know how to pull them out because it's so much, you know.
You just have given. You've given such magnificent gems. I can't.
Really?
Yeah, I can't express it. It's really important. It's fully you, but it's really important sharing. As in, I feel like you've given something that I know is going to sit on the hearts of people and inspire them.
Okay. I'm just worried if I was speaking too fast because I speak fast.
No. We smashed it. I'm really happy with that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening. If you are enjoying this podcast, please remember to like, subscribe, and share. All of the music you heard on this episode was original music by Joe California. You can follow him on Instagram at Rolling with Joe. I will leave that in the show notes. Joe is currently in Mexico City working on his second album and will be releasing music in October. So be sure to look out for that. Once again, thank you all so much for listening to Mondo Moments.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.